Welcome to Ask the Expert on Learn TV. Well, in this case, Ask the Experts, plural. The show where you can connect directly with the experts to ask your questions and get them answered live. Today, we're talking about how to get started with the Go programming language.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify that this is an Ask the Experts video, but it's really just Ask Eric, and Brian will be the funny extra guy. Because I'm not an expert on anything. Let's not kid ourselves. The older I get, the less expert I am on anything at all.
I think that's such the case of like being in this field in general. You've got so many like memory slots for things. And as you learn new things, you have to push things out. So I guess we'll just get started kind of maybe giving some helpful tips of like why you might want to use Go. Where you can go, feel free to drop questions in chat for us. We are happy to answer them. That is the primary reason that we are here. So, Brian, how about I seed you with that question? What is the Go programming language useful for? When would you want to use it?
So I think I might answer that in a couple of ways. I'll start with, it's my absolute favorite way to build command line tools, 100%. There's nothing easier, nothing more fun to build a command line tool than using Go. And Go has a real sweet spot in network services. If you're building something as a web service, something that does TCP IP, Go's perfect for that. And I think that's primarily the use case that Go was intended for, was building network aware services, cloud things. And you can see that reflected in the fact that so much of the cloud native ecosystem is built on Go. Docker and Kubernetes and so many others like
all of the HashiCorp tools. Yeah. And without a doubt. So we've got our first question. It is, I'm completely new to programming. Should I start with Go or is another language easier? What's interesting is if you had asked me back in 2011 when Brian and I started doing Go, I would have told you it's not a language for beginners. But my opinion has actually changed significantly over the years. I actually do think that Go is a good start for a first programming language. It removes a lot of the barriers of thinking about more complex things like C, you know, memory management and things like that. I think if you stay away from multi-threading and all of that kind of craziness, concurrency, Go syntactically is pretty easy to pick up and you can get started pretty quickly. And even languages that I would have recommended as a starting language before, trying to get back into them, I actually realized there's a lot more setup time than I remember.
Yeah, I definitely second that. I used to really enjoy Ruby as a programming language, but I find Ruby to be really complicated to get started with now, whereas Go is much simpler. In terms of installation and tooling and getting things ready, it's really strange how my opinion has changed over the course of the last few years.
Yeah, I remember trying to set up a Rails project, trying to help somebody set one up. And I remember like the amount of time like, wait, no, we need this thing. Oh, no, this thing's missing.
Yeah.
I forgot how nice it is to just need the compiler.
It's true. And the Go tooling is incomparable, I think, in terms of programming languages. There are very few ecosystems I can think of that have an experience as nice as all of the tools that are built into the Go command line. You know, you can format your code, you can compile it, you can vet it. I mean, you can do pretty much everything with just that one Go tool and any text editor, and you're good to go.
The one thing I will also point out about learning a new programming language is, and I recently just tried to learn Rust. So, you know, this is sort of the same thing, like learning idioms is always a big thing, usually takes longer than learning the syntax, and also learning what the common libraries that everybody use for things are. And Go, the standard library is used for most things. It's usually the default. People will just use the standard library. And that even includes things like HTTP. You don't have to go find, you know, some other library to use for that. So I think that removes a huge barrier to getting started, trying to figure out which of the 50 million HTTP libraries you should use.
Yeah, you often hear programming languages have batteries included. And what they're talking about is the standard library. What kind of tools are included in that standard library and how much can you get done without going out and finding other packages. When you look at like the Node and JavaScript ecosystem, there's a lot that you can do with built-in Node and built-in JavaScript, but you end up going out and getting more packages more frequently in those languages than you would in Go. You can do pretty much anything in Go with the standard library. The question is there a tool that might help you do it a little bit easier, a little bit more conveniently? Probably, but you don't need those tools. You don't need to bring in those extra dependencies in Go, and that's a real treat.
So Amy asks, how long do you think I need to learn Go before I'm proficient? So I think that's going to depend on a couple of factors. So one is, do you have programming experience beforehand? If you're coming from another language and you usually pick up languages pretty quickly, I'd say that probably within a week to 2 weeks, you would be at a point where you're not confused by the syntax. The rest of it really comes down to common libraries and learning to write idiomatic Go. And I think that question is probably, you know, similar to any other language or library or even another skill like learning the guitar. How long before I'm good at the guitar? I don't know, how fast are you normally? How much are you normally, like, natural talent do you have there? But I would think probably within a year, you'd probably be, if you wrote it as your main language, you'd probably be pretty proficient by then. You know, maybe you don't understand some lower level stuff like performance tuning and things like that, but you'd be a capable Go developer.
Yeah, I've certainly seen people when I was teaching Go for a living, go from zero to able to write good and useful programs within a week, and correct programs well under a month. I think proficiency is probably the key limiting factor, how strictly you determine whether you're proficient. But you could definitely be useful and functional and getting things done within just a few days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you could definitely be a good contributing member to a team within a week or two of the language, and within a few months writing good idiomatic code. So Devin asks, why did you decide to focus yourself on Go? Why are you passionate about this language specifically? Well, I can start there. So in 2011, I started working for this this fraud detection and credit bureau company where Brian actually worked. This is how we met each other. And there was a service written in Go, and Brian was getting really, really busy in his CIO duties. And he's like, somebody needs to maintain this. How do you feel about learning Go? And I said, okay. I did look at it back in like 2009 too, and was interesting. But what I found really, really interesting was I didn't really see the benefit at the time. It was a cool language. It wasn't until I started actually having to write code in Go that I really started falling in love with it. It's very, very readable. It's very easy to understand, especially when you're doing concurrency things that can actually get really confusing in other languages. The fact that the standard library had kind of all batteries included. The compiler was ridiculously fast and statically compiled things, and I could just pass the binary around. And then obviously when Brian and I started doing GopherCon and things like that, we really fell in love with the community too.
Yeah, very much. The community is a big part of Go. The community in general is really welcoming and friendly and helpful. I want to point out that service that we started with way back in 2011, it called 49 different MySQL queries on huge tables. And we were previously calling them in Ruby sequentially, and it took a really long time. It took us, I want to say our report times were somewhere in the 5 or 6 second range for a credit report. And we pulled that bit out into Go and ran all of those queries concurrently. And I think we turned our average response time for the entire credit report down to about half a second after we did that. And that was huge. I mean, once that was done, I was like, all right, Go is it. There's nothing better.
Yeah. I mean, the use of like Go routines and channels, the way interfaces are implemented in Go, where they're just implicitly
satisfied.
I'm trying to think of some other things like obviously static compilation. Those were just huge wins. And you got all of that with like the readability of a Ruby.
Yeah, Go was written specifically with readability in mind. And it's really the only language I've found where that's so obvious when I'm looking at code. You know, reading other code, other languages, and I'm not dissing any other languages. I love writing in Rust and JavaScript, but reading Go is so easy. And it's just so much of a lower cognitive load to understand what the code is doing when you're reading Go. And that effort that they put into it really shows.
So the next question from Aditya is, for someone who knows C# and Python, what should I look forward to in Go? That's actually a really, really good question. So if you're coming from Python, static compilation, I think, is something to really look forward to.
Yeah. Where speed.
Most of your issues are caught at compile time rather than runtime. Performance, right? Assuming, you know, in Python, obviously, just like Ruby, you're going to include modules where people have implemented part of it in C, and, you know, that's ridiculously fast. But you get the kind of performance from everything. C#, you're going to lose your generics, but that's coming right now. So is that released?
Next year. Yeah. I think the biggest thing coming from C# is you'll really enjoy the lack of ceremony and the lack of typing that you need to do, because you don't have to make so many classes. You don't have to think so hard about your object-oriented hierarchy. You just create interfaces and then build objects that meet those interfaces. And it took me a little bit to think through that whole structural composition and interface-based method of writing code. But you know, after a couple of weeks, I was really grateful that I didn't have to spend days on the whiteboard trying to figure out which object needed to inherit from which abstract base class and which static implementation of something that I needed to override. And it really just changed my life.
Yeah. And I would say for both languages, implicit interfaces are huge, right? So you don't have to explicitly say you implement an interface. You can just so happen to implement the method, and then you can use it everywhere in every library that takes that interface. That's extremely nice. Coming from Python, getting rid of the global interpreter lock, that's huge for both just the C#. So I'm not as familiar with C#. I came the other route from mostly open source languages and technologies. Do they have the concept of channels and coroutines?
You know, I think they've got similar things now. I know .NET, it has advanced quite a bit. And I know there are things that are like channels, but it's been a bit. I couldn't tell you what they're called. I know the performance of .NET now is really, really good. So I'm pretty sure that from a performance perspective, Go and C# are probably relatively equal.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with these concepts, really, it allows multiple effectively threads. They're really light threads that are multiplexed across real threads to run in parallel, and data is kind of passed over and synchronized between them automatically by using this concept called a channel, which makes things much easier to understand than kind of callbacks and locking things with mutexes. And so you share memory by communicating.
Yeah, I love the analogy of the relay race runners that have a baton to pass off between them as they finish the relay race. And that's how I think of channels every time I use them. I've got to pass this message off between the runners. And that works really well for me to think about channels.
So next, Bree asks, what sort of jobs could I be qualified for if I got really good at Go? Just about everything. Ops folks are using it for most tools, right? And SRE folks, so most of the newer technologies you see in that space, like all the HashiCorp products and things like that, that's all there. Doing distributed systems work, almost all of the new distributed databases and tools and metrics collection systems and all of these things are all written in Go. I think you'd be surprised to find out the number of companies that use it. I think we can look back at a bunch of people who have sponsored GopherCon because almost all of them, I use this as an analogy, because all of them use that for hiring. So you've got banks, credit card companies, places like Home Depot, 1Password uses Go, Netflix, Twitch uses Go for a ton of backend stuff. I don't know. I'd like it, just about anything. So you probably could do command line tools, all kinds of API services, especially for mobile applications, what those hit on the back end, distributed systems tooling. Yeah, pretty much.
That's it. Now, I will say that the one thing I wouldn't want to write in Go is a native user interface, something that you expect to run on Windows or Mac or Linux natively. You can build Electron-like apps that have a web interface, but building applications that have a native UI, it's not the most pleasant experience. There are some new tools that make it easier, but it's definitely not something to tackle as a beginner, and we're nowhere near as user-friendly as we should be there yet.
There's some security tools too, and I think some gaming companies that are starting to use Go for stuff too, but I would totally agree. There are some frameworks and stuff you can use, but I would equate it to, you know, like similar to trying to write a desktop app in Ruby or Python, right? Like there's some tools and some bindings, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah, it's not going to be the best experience for you. That's a place where other frameworks or other languages shine a little bit brighter. I have a question from Twitter from Dustin. Dustin asks, what's one thing that you wish you knew, Go or otherwise, when starting out with the Go programming language? That's a good question.
That's a really good question. Do you have an answer for that? Well, I think
I do. I have a great answer for that one. I wish that I knew I needed to close database connections manually in MySQL with the MySQL connector so that I hadn't brought down production the day I deployed that first Go service in 2011. Because I definitely kept 4,000 MySQL connection handles open and crashed the production server moments after it went live.
Oops.
It happens.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard for me to think about what I wish I knew, because we learned Go at such a new time. So back when we learned Go, there was no Go tool. You used make files and you called out to the compiler and linker directly. There was a bunch of language features that don't exist now. Like you just set keys in a hash map to nil because there was like no delete command.
There's no delete, like yeah.
Yeah, there was a bunch of that stuff. So I think I wish that I had taken more time to understand the concurrency patterns and really looked into that, because I used other projects that I found on GitHub as reference and created some bad habits, I guess, that I ended up using for quite some time before somebody pointed out that that's like not a good way to do that.
Yeah, we were talking about this on the Go Time podcast a week or two ago when I was on there. You know, what are some things that you learn the hard way with Go? And one of them would be, just because there are things like Go routines and channels doesn't mean you need to use them. And we were talking about that Mozilla tool that collected and aggregated logs, and the name is going to escape me again. But it was a fantastic tool that collected logs from all kinds of different sources and aggregate them and put them out, output them somewhere. But they use channels for all of the communication internally. And at scale, hundreds of millions of channels open isn't it. So yeah, they regretted using channels, and it was embedded so deeply in the code base that they just walked away without trying to fix it.
That is one of the bad habits I created. And it took me a while to be like, There are use cases for mutexes and use cases for channels. Like it doesn't have to be all one or the other. Okay, so how does one get started with understanding then contributing to the Kubernetes code base? That one is a big one. So one, knowing a lot of the Kubernetes code base is based on its initial creation, which is very Java-like. The team that wrote it, I think, came from Java. So a lot of the conventions and things like that aren't always idiomatic Go. but it is also a very big project that keeps getting split up and merged in and evolving quite a bit. I would just pick one component, probably like the API server or something, and start there, because some of it is just going to be domain knowledge. And and then some of it gets much more complex. Like, if you're into, you know, working on the bin packing algorithm or something, you could start with the scheduler or something too. But, you know, pick one component, find that. There's a lot of moving pieces inside of the Kubernetes code base. And I think that that's okay to feel confused. Brian and I have been working with Kubernetes since 2014, I think. And I'm still really confused by the Kubernetes code base.
Yeah, we both contributed to the Kubernetes code base and still confused. Here's a good question. I think it's Thanachai, asks, now that you both write Rust and Go, are they totally different? Do you still like Go more? That's a really good question. I think they are complementary, not competitive. And I think there are times where writing Rust makes great sense and times where writing Go makes great sense. For example, I wrote a quick web service this morning, you know, with my cup of coffee that creates social media image previews. And it's, you know, 150 lines of Go code. It was literally the perfect use case for Go. I found a library that writes text on top of a base image and had it deployed in an hour. By the time I got to my second cup of coffee, if I had been doing it in Rust, I would have had to think a lot harder about memory management, and it would have taken me two or three times the amount of effort. It probably would have been more safe and perhaps more correct, but for this particular task, it was perfect. So,
yeah, and I'd mirror that. I think that they are complementary. So one thing I will always use Go for is API servers. I've written one in Rust. There's still not really good libraries. A lot of it is like macros and code generation, and it's just really, really confusing. And you can do it, but productivity-wise, I can bang out an API server in Go quickly.
Quick.
However, there are things in Rust that I really love for low-level stuff, especially when we talk about like potentials for languages to use for embedded devices, things like that. Anytime you want to use C or C++, so an example of a project I've been working on in Rust is a online like RTMP video switcher. And using underlying libraries like libav or gstreamer, those are all written in C. And I don't want to necessarily write in C. I'd much rather use something that's safer and all of these things. So the bindings are usually great for doing that. There's not a performance hit like there is for Go, switching back and forth between the languages. There are some features, though, that I do love about Rust that I wish Go had. Like the fact that enum variants can effectively be structs, right? Like they can contain data.
So awesome.
So that's really cool, and kind of the option result pattern where you return back a type and it can either be an okay, which contains the return result, or an error, which returns an error message. I think that that's really, really cool. I do love that.
I love the match statement when you pair it with the option results. You know, matching in Rust is really powerful, and I appreciate that every time I use it.
I think we kind of went off on a tangent here with things we love about
Rust. But that's okay.
They really are complementary. But there's a question that relates to this. So Go is known for its language features like goroutines and channels. What are some of your favorite language features and why?
Interfaces. Hands down, interfaces make my life so easy when I'm writing Go code. Create functional interfaces that do a specific task, and then any of your structures can implement that interface, and it's so easy to use. It really changed how much code I have to write.
Yeah, the way interfaces are done, I really, really love, just because they're easier to test, you know. The fact that the interfaces are actually small, too. So their interfaces are really based off of a small set of functionality. So if you're not familiar with Go, I'll give you an example. So there's a couple of interfaces in the IO package, IO reader and IO writer, and they literally only have one function to read data or write data. And these, they work in, you know, in bytes. So everything in Go implements those interfaces. A buffer in memory implements it, a file, a network connection. So now in order to test, say, sending data over a network, I don't have to like create another TCP server or something that my test code connects to so that I can read the data that's sent and check it. I just hand my function a buffer instead. It doesn't care as long as it meets that IO interface. And neither one of those things had to explicitly say that they you know, coordinate it all. So
now Melanie asks a really good question. Is there resources on Microsoft to be able to learn Go? And there absolutely are. There's a new website that we just launched recently at aka.ms/learn-go. And that's the Learn module for Learn TV, or I'm sorry, for Learn Online, that has almost 6 hours of Go content for beginning Go. And it's a really great resource if you want to go through and pick up some Go in a guided walk along sort of method.
So I want to get better at writing Go. What packages from the standard library do you recommend that people get more familiar with to be productive? Definitely the HTTP package, because I think that's the big thing you're going to end up doing is writing a lot of HTTP clients and servers. Not just because it's something that is really common in the Go world that Go is used for, but just because in this, our current technology kind of climate, everything is web-based. There's some component of it that communicates with the web or accepts requests over the web.
Yeah, and like Eric mentioned earlier, the IO package is, if I were going to counsel somebody on where to spend most of their studying time, I would say memorize everything about the IO package and then learn the rest as you can, because you'll save yourself a lot of typing and programming by understanding the various interfaces in the IO package and using them effectively. I think that that's a real, it's almost like a 10x mode. Once you start using interfaces in the IO package the way they're intended to be used for.
Yeah, and so the other thing I would do too is try to get more active in the Go community too. You'd be surprised how helpful everybody is. There's lots of conversations people have about these things, and just kind of submersing yourself in that can be very, very beneficial. The two ways I would recommend with that are, one, join the Gopher Slack if you're not part of that. I forget how many people it's up to now. It's like 20,000 or something.
It's more like 50,000.
Oh, no, yep. 57,199. Yeah. So there's channels for all different topics in that space. You know, gRPC and working on Kubernetes everything. And things like that. So that would be a huge one. Also, outside of the Learn module, if you go to go.dev, that's a really, really good place to get started with how to download it, find some tutorials to go through. It also has all the docs for packages based on GitHub, things like that.
It looks like we're out of time, Eric. So we've got to wrap up quick here.
All right.
So thanks for joining us today. Check out the link below to watch this and more episodes on demand and find out what episodes are coming soon. It's the link right there. I love it when YouTube people do that. It's right there.
Smash the like
button.
They're smart
enough not to, they don't cover their own face, right? Smash the like button. Yeah. Hit subscribe. thanks for everybody. Watching, everyone.